This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Peter Boyle is co-starring in the hit romantic comedy While You Were Sleeping. He plays the father of the two leading men. Boyle made his breakthrough in the 1970 movie Joe as a bigot. He went on to play the monster in Mel Brooks's Young Frankenstein and Travis Bickle's mentor in Taxi Driver. On several episodes of this season's NYPD Blue, he played Sipowicz's AA sponsor. I'll let Peter Boyle describe his role in While You Were Sleeping.
I play a guy named Ox Callahan, who's sort of the, I guess you call him a patriarch. He's a big father figure. I don't know whether it's such a big family. It's just this very kind of warm, slightly eccentric family. He has two strapping young sons who are both in their late 20s and early 30s. And one son is sort of the perfect son who's made a lot of money doing various business things and doesn't come home that much. And the other son is sort of the one who sort of helps me with the family business, which is, you know, buying furniture and buying and dealing. It's just sort of a glorified junk man. So I'm the head of this large family, and the one son is hurt in this terrible accident. We all think he's dying, and we believe that this young woman has rescued him and saved him from death, this young woman being Sandra Bullock, and we mistakenly think she's his fiancée. So as the movie goes on, we adopt her more into our family, and she, being a lonely young woman, goes right along with it. She's never had this warm, wonderful, wacky family. And as the son Peter Gallagher is in a coma, Sandra obligingly falls in love with the other son, Bill Pullman. And at the end, everybody's happy because Peter Gallagher's character was really a capitalist and had too much money, and he was conceited. Yeah, but it's the kind of film where, like, you know, people are not, you know, crazed killers. They're conceited. They're, you know, it's sentimental, warm, romantic, old-fashioned kind of movie, and it's sort of I guess it's an antidote to certain films of our times.
I really was happy when you became briefly a regular on NYPD Blue.
Well, I wasn't really ever a regular. Let me correct that impression. They always intended to get rid of me.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know. Let me explain to our listeners, in case some of them hadn't seen you, that you were Dennis Franz's, Sipowicz's AA buddy for a while.
Yes, yeah.
Played a retired cop
with
a mentally ill son who turned on you and actually killed you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was so sorry they killed you off.
Well, I felt sad when they did it, but at a certain point, you know, I was lying on the floor of the set and in the studio where they're filming the stuff, and I'm covered with, you know, fake blood, and I'm sitting there, lying there, pretending to be dead, which is not easy. And they say, cut, it's a wrap, and I get up and I walk away. And I wash off all the blood, and I get dressed to go to my camper and get dressed and go out and have a wonderful dinner with some friends, and then go back home with my family, and I have a wonderful life. So I wasn't sad from that. I was sort of given a wonderful experience of sort of dying and being reborn, you know, before your very eyes.
I'm a big fan of yours, and there was the period when I really wasn't seeing much of you. Why was that?
Oh, there was a huge conspiracy. But then the Soviet Union collapsed.
See, I was right. That's what I was telling everybody.
Yeah. No, I have been pretty active all along. About 5 years ago, I had a health problem for a while, and I had to slow down for a while, and at this point, I'm sort of back in full stride, and I'm you know very active.
What was the health problem that you had?
I actually suffered a very small stroke, for want of a better term. It was a stroke. I had a blockage in an artery in my head, in my brain. While I was working on a little independent feature in Utah, and very fortunately, or maybe God had something to do with this, maybe the angels were looking out for me, because I was in a hotel in the middle of Utah, and I was about to leave for a desert location, and I got kind of sick, and right next to the hotel was the best hospital. One of the best hospitals in the world, called the University of Utah Medical Science Center. And I got help right away, and I couldn't finish working on the film, and it took me about, 6 months or more before I could really work. But I was scared.
Sure.
And I went through, a lot of stuff. But I'm very happy to be back. And one thing that happens when you have that kind of experience is you really savor the good things in life. You just enjoy some of the simplest things.
Actor Peter Boyle is my guest. He's now starring in the comedy While You Were Sleeping. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with actor Peter Boyle.
What I'd like to do is a brief filmography with you.
A brief?
Look at some of your key roles, mm-hmm. and talk about the films, okay?
Sure.
Great. Why don't we start with your first starring role in Joe, which became the kind of frame of reference for a certain kind of working class bigot of the period.
Joe is a film that was made in 25 years ago, and during the time of the war protests, and in the first years of the Nixon administration. And I didn't realize it until a few months ago, but the movie was made in late 1969, 1970, about this bigoted hard hat kind of guy and children, involved having kids on dope, and he goes crazy and he shoots up a bunch of hippies, blah, blah, blah. But the movie was made and released only 5 weeks after Kent State. And when it was released, it really caught this, the tragedy and craziness of that time.
Why don't we hear a bit of that?
Oh, you're going to play it?
Yeah, we'll play a clip of that.
This is going to shake me up.
All you got to do is act black and the money rolls in. Set fire to the cities, burn a few buildings, you get paid for it. Throw a few bombs, you get money and jobs. If you can't read, you got a better chance of getting hired. A lot of good my education did me. And the kids, the white kids, they're worse than the niggers. Money don't mean nothing to them. Motorcycles, marijuana, $5 records. Yeah, the dollar ain't worth shit.
So who did you pattern Joe on?
Who did I pattern Joe on? Oh, certain people I knew as I grew up. Uncles, policemen, teachers, certain people of a certain social class.
Did people start to confide their prejudices to you?
Yeah, they come up and say, hey, Joe, you had the right idea about all those hippies. You know what we should do? We should put them in a big boat and take it out to the middle of the ocean and drop a nuclear bomb on it.
At any given time in this society, there's any number of people that would like to murder a certain group of people. So there was a certain funny kind of reaction to it.
What impact did Joe have on your career?
Well, it sort of started my career, but it also distorted it a little bit. So I kept trying to avoid a stereotype, but the more I did, the more I got into it. So
you got into the stereotype the more you tried to avoid it?
Well, movies are very, people are very, the typecasting goes on forever. And if you do one role and you make an impression in it, that's all they want you to do. It's really true.
Now, let me move on to a very different
yes.
film, Young Frankenstein.
Did I make you nervous then?
No.
Okay. I thought you were defending the typecasting system.
No.
Oh, no. Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
From a bigot to a monster. Not such a simple. Yes, Young Frankenstein.
This is Mel Brooks's horror
yes.
spoof.
Yes.
And you were the monster.
Yes.
How did you get the part of Frankenstein, of the monster?
Gee, I forget how I got it. I knew Gene Wilder and Marty Feldman, and I knew Mel, and there was a conversation, and they wanted to do a spoof on Frankenstein, and it was decided, I was best for the monster, Marty was best for Igor, and blah, 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 like that. And Gene Wilder, wrote the original script, and then he and Mel rewrote it, and it became a movie. It just happened.
So did you go back and watch the original, study Boris Karloff?
I didn't have to, because I had seen the original when I was about 12 years old. In an era before television, where there was a movie in downtown Philadelphia that used to show old movies. And a friend of mine went down to, and I went down to see the original Frankenstein, and it scared me. And it made such a strong impression on me that I really didn't have to go back and do research, because I patterned my performance on Karloff and made, you know, and did it a certain way. And I wanted to make it like there was somebody inside the monster.
Did you remember the monster's grunts, which, of course, you had to do?
Yes, of course. Yes.
The makeup is actually very funny for the film, because you could see where the makeup is.
Well, the Young Frankenstein really sort of spoofed the early Frankenstein movies, which were actually the first among the first sound movies ever made. They were made in 1931, and the lighting and the makeup was very much in the style of the silent movies. It hadn't gotten that sophisticated, so some of the makeup was, you were aware that it was makeup, that was somewhat intentional.
One of the highlights, I think, of Young Frankenstein is when Gene Wilder, who plays Dr. Frankenstein, the scientist, is showing off you, his monster, his creation, to a big audience of scientists. And then you, as he's showing you off, you do a duet with him of Puttin' on the Ritz.
Yes.
In full top hat, white tie and tails.
Mm-hmm. And seven, and shoes that are elevated have soles that are eight inches thick. You know, because, you know, that's the part I remember, and I had to tap dance in those.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Cooper, Cooper!
You grew up in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And in this city, you were famous as the son of Uncle Pete.
That's true.
The show that your father did that people I know who grew up in Philadelphia remember was called Lunch with Uncle Pete.
Yes.
And why don't you describe what he did on that show?
Well, he would have kids come into the studio, and also this is a time when kids would actually go home from school and have lunch. Or little kids who were at home would have lunch, and he would announce his menu for each day, and he'd have a little lunch, and he'd draw some pictures and tell some stories, talk to the kids in the studio, and show various old movies. A lot of times he showed our gang comedies, and he also went through another period where he showed a lot of Hopalong Cassidy.
How old were you when he was doing Lunch with Uncle Pete?
When he was doing all that, I was not a little kid anymore. I was really like a guy. When all this went on, I was like in high school and then out of high school and in college.
Was it exciting to have a father on TV? Was it ever embarrassing?
What was really, sometimes it would, I don't remember too much. Sometimes it'd be embarrassing. Only you get recognized everywhere. But what was exciting for me was he would bring me down to, especially in the early days, because everything was live on television, there was an incredible excitement, and he would bring me down to the studio, and I would sit and watch them rehearse and watch them shoot these shows. And since there's no tape and there's no error, there's no repeating anything, everything was very exciting. And then also sometimes there'd be fascinating guests or, you know, just people would pass through the station. But they would go from studio to studio. I remember seeing a TV crew wrap a show, rip off their microphones, and run down the hall and into the next studio to fire up the cameras for the next show. So I enjoyed watching all of that, the production of it and seeing him do it and hanging out with him. It was really exciting.
Did that ever give you the bug to perform?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I think it did. Yeah, it did. Also, my dad, we grew up in Philadelphia. My dad was an avid movie buff and theater buff, and he took me to the theater a lot.
That's great.
So we saw a lot of plays, a lot of musicals, but also a lot of plays that used to, when there was more of Philadelphia's more a tryout town.
Peter Boyle, he's now co-starring in the romantic comedy While You Were Sleeping. This is Fresh Air.